Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And this morning, we are finishing our series on the ABCs of stewardship. And if you look at the back of your bulletin in the sermon notes section, just want to do a quick review of where we've been the past few weeks, just to refresh our memories of what we've learned so far. And first of all, the first week we talked about the letter A in this series stands for attitude. And attitude is the response of a steward. You and I, our attitude is our response as a steward. A steward is a manager, someone who doesn't own something, but we manage things. And we've been talking about how God owns everything and we're just the managers. And our attitude is our response to God. The letter B stands for blessings. It stands for blessings. The blessings are the resources of a steward. And it's not just finances, but it's possessions, it's time, it's talents, it's abilities, it's everything that God has given us. Everything we have is a gift from God. It's our blessings. The next week we talked about consecration. Consecration is the requirement of a steward, where we're putting God first place in our life. God comes first. And we talked about the rich young ruler, how he had other gods before him. Other things were more important than God, and that's not what God is looking for. This morning, we want to talk about the letter D, and if you're taking notes today, the letter D stands for donation. The letter D stands for donation, and donation is the reward of the steward. What you give is actually your reward. There once was an elderly carpenter who was ready to retire, and he told his employer, contractor, that, hey, I'm ready to cash it all in, to be done. I want to spend some more time with my wife, with my extended family. And the employer, the contractor, says, do one thing for me. Do me a favor. Build this one final house for me. And so the elderly gentleman says, yeah, sure, I'll do that as a favor to you. I'll build this last house. And it was a beautiful layout, it called for high-end materials. But unfortunately, this retiring carpenter cut corners, did shoddy workmanship. He skimped on the materials and he pocketed the extra money. It was not a good way to end what had been just a really spectacular career, his time with this employer. But his heart wasn't in it. It was not there. And when he's all done, the contractor comes through, he inspects it, and he says, this looks great, because it did look great on the outside. But when he's all done inspecting it, the contractor takes the keys to the house and the deed, gives it to the retiring carpenter and says, this is yours. And immediately he's thinking, oh no. If only I had done a better job. If only I used the materials I should have. If only I would have invested the time and the effort and the attention to detail that I should have. And yet, friends, all of us are like the retiring carpenter, because each and every day we have, we are building with our lives. We're building with our time, with our attention, with our energy, our effort. We're building with our resources, with our possessions, with our finances. We're building with our gifts and our abilities. And what you and I do today really equals our reward tomorrow. Our donation, how we live, how we give to God this day, is our reward. And this morning, I want to talk about how do we live a life of giving? How do we be givers? Jesus summed this up. We're going to be looking at Luke 6, 20 to 38. But verse 38, take a look at it, because Jesus is kind of summing up this whole teaching on giving, on how do you donate to God. And Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, I don't know about you, but as I read that verse, there is nothing about meagerness, about stinginess, about skimpiness, and the way God gives back to us, is there? I mean, it is pressed down. It is shaken together to get any air pockets out, and it's running over. I mean, it is an abundant reward that God gives us. As we give, it is given back to us. If you'd paraphrase verse 38, you could say, donate or give, and it will be given or rewarded back to you. What I sow, what I donate, that is what my reward is. Now, I do not give to get, okay? That's not why we do it. We don't give, you know, and it's not like you see the televangelists, well, if you just send me $1,000 seed money, then you will get 100-fold back. How many of you ever heard someone say that before? I always wanted to say to them, you know what, how about you need money so bad, why don't you sow $1,000 with me and let God bless you back, huh? It's easy when it's on the other foot. God gives to me knowing that I can never repay him. And yet he just keeps on giving. Friends, there is nothing you and I could ever do to repay God. If you die now, what kind of donation would have you made with your life? If you died today, if you're in a car accident or you just stop breathing and you go to heaven and you stood before God, what has been your donation, your gift to the people around you, your gift to the kingdom of God? It's a sobering, sobering thought. Here's the thing. Giving has nothing to do with your assets. It has nothing to do with how much money you have in the bank, because some of the greatest givers in the world had nothing. Jesus, he didn't tell the story. He experienced this. He's in the temple and he's watching all these rich people bring gifts by. And what happens? There is a widow who comes and gives 2 mites and drops them in. Nobody noticed her, but Jesus noticed her and says, she has given more than everyone else. You see, giving has nothing to do with the amount of your assets. It has to deal with the attitude of your heart. And this morning, we're going to look at 3 truths about givers, 3 truths about how we are to donate in life. How are we to be givers? And so take a look at your notes this morning. Truth number 1, givers are dependent on God. Givers are dependent on God. Starting in verse 20 of Luke 6, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. In verse 20, the word poor, it symbolizes people who are dependent on God. It symbolizes people who are depending on God. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was teaching kind of this same teaching, and this he added this phrase. Matthew records this, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. See, when Jesus says, blessed are the poor, he's not talking about physical poverty. He's talking about spiritual poverty. What does it mean to be spiritually poor? It means I realize I do not have the resources in and of myself to make it through life. I don't have the ability to work my way to heaven. I am a sinner. Did you know your pastor's a sinner? Amen, someone said. All of us are sinners. There is nothing you and I can do to earn our way to heaven. Being a pastor does not give me any special privilege in the kingdom of God. It does not give me any one up and say, I'm better than you, so I have a better shot at going to heaven. No, we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I can't work my way to heaven. If I could be good enough to go to heaven, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Because the wages of sin is death. I deserve an eternal punishment in hell. but Jesus died in my place. But friends, that is just the starting point as a steward. It's not just I can't save myself, but I can't go through life. I can't give what I should give. I can't minister how I should minister unless I'm totally depending on God. And sometimes I look at my resources, I look at my time, I look at my energy level, and I say, no, I can't. But God says, don't look at what you have. Look to me. If you give what I am asking you to give, I will supply your need according to my riches and glory. God wants us to depend upon him. Notice what Jesus said. He said, if you're poor, if you're hungry, if you're weeping. I mean, those are all signs of not having it together, right? If you've got nothing in your bank account and you're hungry and you're crying, I mean, you're a mess. But Jesus says, that's the kind of person I want, a person who is depending on me and not upon themselves. Last week we looked at the rich young ruler, and he was sufficient. He says, I have houses, I have lands, I have possessions. You know what? I don't need God. He was rich in himself. And because he was rich and in need of nothing, he lost it all. We need to be a people that are dependent on God. In verse 24, Jesus said, woe to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. Now, Jesus is not anti-rich. He's not against wealth. He's not against possessions. By rich, he is referring to people who think they are the big kahuna. Okay? They are the one that makes it all happen in their life. They're in control. They've gotten what they've gotten by their own labor, their own expertise, and they can do as they please. They don't have to give it or help anyone because it's all about them. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, he says, it's not about what you have. He said, it's about who you are. In verse 27, he says, I say to you who hear. Isn't that interesting? Who hear? Sometimes we don't hear, we don't listen. But this is what he said, love your enemies. How rich do you need to be to love your enemies? You can be flat broke. You see, being a giver is not just about finances. It's about everything in life. Am I going to have an attitude that says, God, freely you've given me forgiveness and grace, so freely I will give it back to others? And Jesus said, live a life that as you give, Pastor Todd mentioned this in the offering, if you hold in your hoard, you're going to make yourself sick. You're going to make yourself, you are missing out, you're robbing yourself. Pastor Kevin Myers tells a story about a time when he took his little son Jaden to a family movie. And before the movie, he bought him this box of Skittles. And they pour them into a cup and they sit down in a movie. Now, how many of you like Skittles? A lot of you like Skittles? You know, we have a gift for you today. Ushers, would you pass out Skittles right now? Now, how many can eat and listen at the same time? Okay? Many of you can. That's good. Don't eat and talk at the same time. I'm going to save my Skittles and I'll do the talking, okay? Every year we do a stewardship series. I share this story, and we call this day Skittles Sunday, okay? This is Skittles Sunday today. My favorites are the red ones. My kids get ticked off at me. Dad, you ate all the strawberry. You know, I say, hey, I gave you the rest. But Pastor Kevin tells how, as they're in this movie, he reaches his hand into the cup, and Jaden, you would have thought Kevin had taken a knife and driven it into his leg, because Jaden goes, no, they're mine. I mean, out loud in the movie, everyone's looking at Kevin like, what did you do to your kid, man? And, you know, Kevin, he has a whole gamut of emotions running through him. First of all, he's hot. He is so hot. He turned and looked at him, you know, and Jaden's yanking the cup and covering up and protecting. It's like he just wanted to rip it away from him and say, I bought those Skittles with my money. They're mine. I'm just letting you use them. You don't get any, kid. Part of him was saying, man, I love this son. I'd die for my son. And yet he's upset over Skittles. Doesn't he realize?
I could go out right now and get out my credit card and buy $100 worth of Skittles and just dump them on him? How much I could bless him with Skittles and yet he won't give me one Skittle? And friends, that's how many of us live. God has blessed us with a lot of Skittles. And he says, hey, give me some time in prayer. Give me some of your energy and your talent in ministry. Give me your tithe. Bless this person with groceries. And we say, mine! No! And he says, wow. Fast forward 2 years. The whole Myers family's at a family movie, and this time Jaden has Skittles, and when Pastor Kevin reaches over to get them, Jaden, instead of pulling away, leans into his dad and gives him the Skittles. And friends, today, God is looking for each and every one of us. And when he says, can I have this, that we lean into him and say, you bet, Dad. It's yours, because I don't own it. It's not mine. It's yours, and I am depending on you. And if even if you take all these Skittles, I'm depending on you to give me more Skittles. That is the first truth about being a giver. A giver is someone who is completely dependent upon God. The second truth about being a giver, a person who donates to God freely, is that givers live on a higher level than most people. Givers live on a higher level than most people. What separates givers from takers? In your notes, we have letter A, B, and C. If you're taking notes, write this down. Letter A, givers are positive activists. Givers are positive activists. They're active in life. They just don't sit around and let life pass them by, but they're initiators, they're doers, they're positive. They're out there causing something to happen. Look at verse 27 and 28. Jesus said, I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Notice there's four action verbs. It's love, do good, bless, and pray. Notice that Jesus does not give a list of don'ts. And for some of us here, maybe you're not a Christ follower and you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. I want you to know we're glad to have you here. Enjoy the Skittles, okay? It's good to have you here today. But I just want you to know, I know a lot of people, their concept of Christianity is don't. And friends, Christianity is not about all the negatives of things you shouldn't do. For Jesus, he's looking at the positive. As a believer, God has empowered us. He's filled us. He's come into us to do things. And it's not about, I can't do this, I can't do that, God's a killjoy, I can't do anything. No, being a Christian is about living a full life in the Spirit of God and being able to do what God wants us to do. Yes, we need to be holy, okay? But it's not just to be holy and don't do the wrongs. Are we helping? Are we serving? Are we caring? Are we giving? Are we building the kingdom? Those are the things that God is looking for in his stewards. Are we being salt and light through our good deeds? Jesus didn't say, you let your light shine by what you don't do. You realize that? He said, your light shines when people see your good works that you're doing. And so as believers, I think sometimes in church, we can get so caught up on don't do this and don't do that. Now, let me just say this. We should not sin, and God determines what sin is. God defines sin in his word, in the Bible. And if God says something is wrong, then we can't say it's right. So yes, there are things we shouldn't do. If I love my wife, then I don't be unfaithful to her. I don't yell at her. I don't hit her and abuse her. You know, I am good to my wife. And so as a believer, yes, there are things I don't do. But friends, as believers, we have to really focus and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? How do you want me to be this positive activist in the world that's around me? So that's one way givers live at a higher level. Another way they live at a higher level is letter B. They do more than is expected. They do more than is expected. Verse 29, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Again, in Matthew, as Matthew records Jesus teaching on this similar thing again, in verse 31, Jesus includes an additional application. He says, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now, according to Roman law, a Roman soldier, a centurion, let's say they're traveling east. I need a volunteer. Who'd like to volunteer? Ashley Bright, thank you so much for raising your hand and coming on down. Let's say Ashley is on a journey going west, okay? Excuse me, sir, stop. I'm a Roman soldier. I'm going east. You have to take my backpack here, all 100 pounds of it, and you have to go a mile and carry my pack a mile. It doesn't matter that Ashley was going west, and this is an inconvenience to him. He has to go a mile with me by Roman law. Okay, you fulfilled your mile. He could put the pack down and go. But you know what Jesus said? If someone asks you to go 1 mile, go two. If Ashley would say, you know what? Can I carry this a second mile? It'd be like, what? Yeah, sure. I mean, nobody did that. Nobody did that. But Jesus said, people in the kingdom, they donate, they give, they do more than is expected. Give him a hand this morning. When you're at work, do you only do what is expected? You come on time, you put in your time, and you clock out, and oh, it's 1 minute over. You know what? I can't stay and help and do that. Do you just do what's in your job description? Or are you a second miler? You see, Jesus said, givers, people that are living the life on a higher level, do more than what is expected. That's what God wants from me, to be a person that's not consumed with Craig and what happens to Craig and Craig's needs, but I am just giving freely because freely I have received. That's what Jesus said. There's another thing here, another application of living on a higher level, letter C. It says, they do good asking nothing in return. Verse 35, Jesus said, love your enemies and do good and lend, look at this, hoping for nothing. How many of you have ever done something and you hope, man, I know I don't have to do this, but I hope I get a reward for it? I've done that. Yeah, I kind of hope for something. Jesus says, no, do it and don't even hope for it. Not just don't ask, don't hope. It's all about your heart. That's what he's looking at. Hoping for nothing in return, and your reward, your donation will result in a reward that will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, because God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Under your notes in this point, you will see where it says three options in life, three levels of giving. There's three choices you and I can make. I can choose, number one, to be a taker. Write that down. The first bullet is a taker. And people who are takers live life on a get-even level. What I want to do, that's what I do. A lot of times, takers don't give anything, at least nothing of value. You know, and if you give me something dirty, I'm going to give it right back to you. I'm getting even. They'll give something bad, they'll give something negative, but they're not going to give anything good. They just take and take and take. They're consumed upon themselves. They're the reverse of verse 31. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them. No, they do unto others as has been done unto them. That's the taker level. The second level is the traitor level. You could call it the grit level. And the traitor level says, this is what I'll do for God. And they give expecting something back. And maybe they're ministering, or they gave money to God or whatever it was. They're saying, oh God, Oh, do you know what I've done for you, Lord? Do you know the sacrifices I've made? Okay, God, when are you going to come through for me? When are you going to give me my breakthrough, God? And it's almost like they're trying to manipulate the Lord. And or as it applies to people, well, we've had the Joneses over now twice to our house, and they haven't asked us over, so I'm not asking them until they ask us. So there. Or here's a great one. I have come to church now 3 weeks in a row, and I've said hello to Anthony LaMotta first. I'm not saying hello to Anthony until he says hello to me first. I always have to make the first move. No, Anthony's a nice guy. He always says hi right away. But that's what the traitor does. They wait. They're not that positive activist. I might do one, but I'm not doing any more until they reciprocate and give back. The third level of giving, the third option in life, is to be a giver. To be a giver. And this is the grace level. God, what do you want to do through me? God, I'm going to be the pipeline. Remember last week we talked about we can be a funnel where God gives us a lot, but then we constrict it. Or we can be that pipeline. We say, God, you gave it to me. I'm just going to let it pass on through. And so I'm living a life of grace. I'm not keeping score. God says, give, donate. I give back to him. I let him flow through me. Okay, let's review. What do givers do? Number one, givers are dependent on God. Number two, givers live at a higher level. Now, here's the third one. Okay, if you're taking notes, look at this. Givers are blessed by God. How many like that one? Givers are blessed by God. To get the blessing, I first need to be dependent and I need to live at a higher level. But givers are blessed. Look at verse 31. Jesus says, just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. This is what's commonly referred to as the golden rule. Treat other people the way that you want to be treated. So here's the thing. Do you want people to be a taker from you or a traitor from you? Or do you want them to be a giver to you? What do you want in life? How do you want to be treated? Do you want to be treated as by a taker or a traitor or as a giver? Giver, for me at least. You can pick your own. So if I want people to treat me as a giver, then I need to do to them the same way and be a giver in my life. Jesus said in verse 32, if you love those who love you, you've traded with them. What credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Look at verse 33. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? He says it again. For sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? Three times Jesus said, what credit is that if you're a traitor in life or a taker in life? You have no reward. But verse 35, if you love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, your reward will be what? Great. And then Jesus wraps it up in verse 38. It's what we announced in the beginning. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. Friends, the reward comes from God. He's our source. If I'm a giver, God will take care of me. I cannot light a candle for someone without getting a little light back. Did you realize that? If I light a candle for someone, I receive light at the same time. And that's how it works. As we give, God gives back to us. John Rockefeller was a millionaire at age 23, a billionaire at age 50. But his health was so horrible that the doctors at age 53 gave him 1 year to live. He was eaten up with ulcers and a lot of disease. In that year, all he could do was eat milk and crackers. That's all his stomach could handle. And Rockefeller realized that his life of hoarding and keeping had taken its toll, and he decided to put Matthew 6:38 into practice, and he began to give away. He gave to churches, he gave to medicine, he started the Rockefeller Foundation, and he began to release this inner attitude of holding and hoarding and protecting and looking out for himself, and just began to give it away and look to other people. And his stress and his ulcers went away. And instead of living 1 year, he lived another 33 years to the ripe old age of 90. I don't know if he ever received Christ as his Savior, but friends, he applied Luke 6:38. And friends, biblical principles work. And as he did, he was blessed, and God gave him a new life. God gave him health back. As we wrap up this morning, I want to just focus on a specific principle, and that's the principle of tithing. Tithing refers to the practice of giving back to God 10% of my gross income. Whatever I make, I give 10% back to God. Now, I know some people say, well, Craig, tithing's part of the law, and as a believer, we are under grace. We're not under the law. What many people don't realize is that Abraham is the one who gave the tithe, Moses is the one who gave the law, and Abraham lived 400 years before Moses and the law. 4 centuries before Moses gave the law, Abraham instituted the tithe. God just said, the tithe is such a great idea, I'm making it part of the law. And if Jesus wanted to do away with tithing and say, you know what, don't do that, he had an opportunity. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You know, Jesus could have said, you know what, guys? You don't have to tithe anymore. Just do the justice, the mercy, and that kind of thing, and you'll be good. But Jesus says, no, do them both. Jesus said, you ought to tithe. The reason tithing is so important is because it opens up our lives to blessings from God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, it says, return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes, all the 10% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, when we tithe, we get blessings. We get spiritual blessings. Verse 7, God said, if you return to me and you give the tithe with the right heart, I'll return to you. You will have a, how many want to have a close walk with God? Tithing is a key part of that. You return to God, he returns to you. He says in verse 10 and 11, I'll give you material blessings. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain, not just positive blessings, but I'm going to rebuke the devourer so you don't lose everything. Because what good is it if you gain $100, but then you lose it? And God says, hey, I will bless you and I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll give you material blessings. And then verse 12, God said, I'm going to give you blessings of influence. The nations around you, people around you are going to look at you and say, man, I don't get it. You're so blessed. God has done such a great thing. What do you have that I don't have? And we can influence people for the kingdom of God if we become givers in life. So the question is, what's our responsibility? First of all, I need to turn to God. If I turn to God, then he turns to me. Here's the thing, friends. Tithing is not a financial problem. It's a spiritual problem. If I'm not tithing, it's not because of lack of money. It's because I don't want to in my heart. It's a heart issue. The next thing I need to do is to trust God. Tithing is a matter of trust. It's not a matter of finances. People who are tithed say, God, I trust that you can do more with 90% than I can do with 100%. And so tithing is trusting him. And then the third thing in this is it's testing God. In verse 11, this is what it said, bring the tithes into the storehouse and test me now. Try me in this. Do you realize this is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me? When I was growing up, there were these commercials for batteries. And I think it was Robert Conrad was on there, and he put a battery on there and says, go ahead, knock it off, I dare you. You know, how many remember those commercials? Some of you do if you're my age or older. Yeah, you remember that. Go ahead, I dare you, man. Test me, try, you know. In a way, that's what God is saying. Just give 10%. Come on, I dare you. I dare you. Instead of knocking your block off like he would have, God says, let me bless you. Let me show you what I want to do for you. Because when I am a giver, then he gives back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.